Yeah, what up, though? What's happening? What's popping, man? It's your boy T Lib bringing you another episode of the Speak On It podcast, and we are here, back with it, back vibing, back thriving, ain't hiding. You dig? Hey, man. First off, if you listening to Speak On The Podcast, man, I appreciate you. If you're taking your time out to go ahead and, you know, come in here and hear me talk about sports and talk a couple things about life, I appreciate you, man. More respect to you, man. I hope you have a blessed day. If you're not and you just late to the party, hey, it's cool, man. It's all good. It's all love. I'd rather you come late to the party than don't come at all. You feel what I'm saying? Man, there was a lot of great football that happened yesterday, man. Sunday showdown, there was a lot of great football. Later in the episode, I'm going to hit y'all with the Tony's top five teams. And it kind of, I'm going to shock y'all with my top five teams too, man. So you might want to, you know, tune in later into the episode to hear what I got to say about that, because I'm going to shock a couple people with my top five teams. I'm also going to throw in my primetime performers, my Sunday show outs. I do three players to where I feel like I highlight their game that they had on Sunday. You know, I break down their game and bring light to what they did out there on that field. So you definitely want to stay in tune with that. But right now, man, we're going to pop it off with the game of the week. It's been talked about all week on every sports show, every podcast, every whatever you want to call it, radio show. This is a game that everybody had their eyes on and they always going to talk about. And it happened on Sunday in Philadelphia at Lincoln Field. Eagles versus the Cowboys. And we're going to start it off with great win for the Eagles, man. Great win for the Eagles. But I'm also going to say it wasn't a bad loss for the Cowboys. They actually looked competitive versus the Eagles. Dak Prescott actually looked good. This is what I'm going to say about Dak. If Dak could duplicate that performance in the playoffs, that's when we know Dak is becoming a better quarterback. Like, if you pay attention to Dak in the interview, in the post game media, the pre game media, the media interviews all throughout the week, he has this certain level of comfort with him now. Like, it's just like I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm not gonna keep trying to, you know, say the right thing all the time and, you know, not really express who I am personally as a person. I'm not going to just try to cookie cut this shit and just say the right thing. He's just kind of like, man, whatever. I'm going to say whatever because people going to say whatever regardless of what I say. So I might as well showcase my personality. I might as well, you know, let down the curtains and show the people who I am. So I like what I seen from Dak. They went into halftime, up 17-14. Dak made some key third down plays. I'm going to say that. He made some key third down throws. Gallup had dropped a throw on third down in the, I think it was the first half of the early second half that he should have caught on like a little shallow route. He made some key third down throws, man. He made some throws on first down as well. They didn't have the running game going crazy today. Tony Pollard had 12 carries for 51 yards. It's not big. It's not a lot of carries. It's not a lot of yards. It's honest, though. It's just showing you. It's showing them that, hey, they're still running the ball. But Dak Prescott, 29 for 44, 374 yards, and three touchdowns. He was sacked five times. You don't want to see him get sacked five times. I think three or four of them sacks came in the last 3 minutes of the game. Don't want to see him get sacked that many times. But the Eagles got a great pass rush, and if you know Philly, their D-line is deep. They have a lot of guys they can throw at you, a lot of different – they can get after the passer, for sure. Lamb had a day, you know, 16 targets. That might be his most, that might be his most targets in a game. I could be wrong, but 16 targets is a lot of targets for anybody. He had 16 targets for 191 yards. Ferguson had 10 catches, 7 yards for 91 yards. I know he's wishing right now that he had 92 yards. He was stopped short on the goal line, catching the ball on a slight rub route. Blankenship played great defense on that one because early in the game, they kind of ran the same play, and Ferguson scored because Blankenship? I think it was Blankenship. He, you know, you can't be late in the red zone. Like, you gotta have eye discipline. You got to have attention to detail. And if you late by a split second, it's a wrap because it's the red zone. Everything happens way quicker in the red zone. So if you a tenth of a second slow, it's a wrap. And he learned from that touchdown that he gave up in the first half and came back in the second half and made a critical key stop to stop them from points and turning the ball over on downs. And they wasn't able to get points from that drive. So that was a great play from Blankenship. Ferguson had a good day too as well. Gallup needed to step up a little bit more. I mean, they don't have a number two receiver right now. Gallup had 2 catches for 19 yards. Brandon Cooks only had 2 targets. He had 1 catch for 7 yards. Tolbert had 5 targets, 3 catches for 49 yards. And Dak ended up throwing to him on a fourth down. He ran like a 10 to 12 yard stop route on the backside of a 3-by-1 when the tight end got open. Ferguson got open immediately. They were double teaming. It was, I think it was 4th and 10. It was a 1 robber look, but the robber was really double teaming in and out with CeeDee Lamb. So all across the board, it was 1-on-1 coverage. And Tolbert was on the backside by himself. So you say, you see 3-by-1, 1 safety, middle field high. You want to go work that backside because it's a lot of real estate over there. You can run a lot of different routes. So you want to go that. But at the end of the game, you got to go to your guys. I mean, Ferguson had almost had 100 yards and CeeDee Lamb had 191 yards. I'm looking for one of those guys on fourth down. I'm looking for the guys that have been balling out. So I'm looking for those guys. He ended up throwing to Tolbert, and Tolbert, you know, kind of got locked up by Bradberry, which is expected, but Dak should have probably looked to the left, and he could have seen quickly that tight end got open real quick, and the tight end probably could have caught it and kept running because he was wide open. He literally got open right off the snap of the ball. So I'm not. I like how the Cowboys played, man. I like how the Cowboys played. There was a bunch of BS going on, like towards like the last 4 minutes of the game. It was so much going on. You got Dak Prescott stepping out of bounds on a 2-point conversion when he had a straight line to the end zone. He steps out of bounds and instead of them going, being down by 3 and being down by just a field goal, they were down by 5 points in which they needed a touchdown. Because they were in the red zone, they could have kicked the field goal if they had made that 2-point conversion. They could have went to overtime and we could have seen how it was going to happen then. But he steps out of bounds when he could have, bruh, there's no Dak Prescott. There's no way you step out of bounds, bro, when you have that free of a lane to the pylon. There, you cannot step out of bounds right there. That's the only that's one of the only things that I was like, man, Dak be on some bullshit. Cause I just don't see nobody else stepping out of bounds right there when they got a clear lane to the pylon, to the end zone, to get 2 points. I just don't see nobody stepping out of bounds. And I'm not saying he did it on purpose or anything like that. Nothing like that. I'm saying that Bro, you have to be super locked in to the point where you not stepping out of bounds. You are not stepping out of bounds right there. The game is on the line. You already played well. You just rolled out and threw a touchdown to Tolbert in the back of the end zone on a scramble play. Looked good. You was running well. 6 carries for 14 yards. You know, you scrambled a little bit. Not much, but you scrambled a little bit. You can't step out of bounds prior to getting to the zone for the 2 points. Because if I'm not mistaken, they touched the ball again at least twice under that 4 minutes. And they was in the Eagles' territory both times. So they could have kicked the field goal and at least sent it to overtime. Or they could have put more pressure on the Eagles' defense to stop them. Because when you know that, hey, they got to score a touchdown, you're going to play the game different than if you play the game knowing that, hey, they only need a field goal to tie the game up. Or they could win this motherfucker with a touchdown. But when you know that they need a touchdown to win because they're down by 5 points instead of 3, your defense is called different. You play different. You can give up a couple more yards because they have to go the distance. They don't just have to get in field goal range. They have to go the entire distance. So that was a bad mistake by Dak Prescott right there. That's one of his only mistakes. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't have some bonehead interceptions, which was good. So I like the way Dak Prescott played, man. I'm not even going to cap with that. Jalen Hurts, 17 for 23, 207 yards, 2 touchdowns. 10 carries, 36 yards. He got dinged up a little bit. Right, I think it was right before halftime. Tank Lawrence hit his knee a little bit. But he still came out the second half and was running the ball. The great thing about the Eagles right now is they're on a bye week next. They got a bye week. So they're going to be able to rest up and to get ready to, you know, for this last push through the playoffs. I mean, to the playoffs. This last push. So they'll be able to get guys healthy. They lost Goddard. Goddard is out for 4 weeks. Forearm, I think it was a broken forearm or something like that. He's out for 4 weeks. He's going to come back probably week 16, week 17, and he's going to be ready for the playoffs. So it'd be good if they can get that one seed. If the Eagles can get that one seed, that'd be good too, because then that'd be another week they have off to get healthy and to prepare. And they'll be at home. They won't have to go nowhere. That's the best part about being a one seed, is that you don't have to go on the road. It's not like basketball. Basketball, even if you're a one seed, you still got to go to the eighth seed arena for potentially 3 games. When in football, it's one and done. So if you're a one seed in football, you don't have to leave your home. You don't have to leave your home. You don't have to travel nowhere in the playoffs, because everything comes to you. So they're going to be fighting to get that one seed. They're going to be on a bye week. And when they come off the bye week, they're going to go against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. And both of these teams are going to have a bye week. And they play on Monday Night Football. So that's going to be coming off a bye week, going against the Chiefs, that's going to be a great game. I know that's going to be the game of the week in 2 weeks. So excited for that. But the Eagles played well, man. They did enough to win. I'm going to go to some of these, like, team stats. The time of possession was basically even, 18-second difference. The Cowboys had 333 passing yards, and the Eagles only had 183 passing yards. Well, 200, because obviously they take away from the sack yards, 207. The Eagles had 109 rush yards. The Cowboys had 73. Cowboys had 27 first downs. The Eagles had 20 first downs. The Cowboys had 5 sacks. No, the Cowboys had 3 sacks. The Cowboys had 70 plays, and the Eagles had 59 plays. So the Cowboys literally, like, if you look at if you're looking at the stat sheet and you're looking at things, you would look like, damn, how did the Cowboys lose? They literally, you know, had more yards, more plays, more first downs. They both had 10 penalties. You feel me? They protected the ball. How did they lose? They have to figure out how to win that game. The Cowboys, and they had opportunities at the end of that game. They literally had the lead at halftime. So It was 17-14 at halftime. They had the lead. And then they came out and gave up 14 points in the third quarter. And that made it 28-17. And then they tried to come back and, you know, get the two-point conversion and do this and do that. But they had opportunities in this game, especially coming down to the end of this game. They stopped them on third down, you know, almost had a turnover with Swift and Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown in the backfield where they handed off the ball and they hit him in collision and they fumbled the ball. They almost got that ball back. They had multiple opportunities to make this game, you know, to win this game. So they have to find ways to win those games. I want to see Michael Parsons snap more than he did in this game. He had nine tackles, one TFL, and 1.5 sacks. But I want to see him really have his imprint in a game like this. Like, have 3 sacks. You feel me? Max Crosby had 3 sacks yesterday. You feel me? When the Steelers played the 49ers in game one, the 49ers whooped their ass, but T.J. Watt had 3 sacks. Like, you felt his presence. Like, I'm not saying 1.5 sacks, you don't feel his presence. But one of the sack he did have was on the injury to Jalen Hurts where he kind of got hurt and he just kind of gave up. I want to see Michael Parsons really wreck havoc in this type of game because he's the best player on the defense. You have to be the best player on the field. Like, Michael Parsons is potentially the best defensive player on the field for both teams. So you have to literally showcase that. You have to have that impact on the game. Like, I watched the game. He didn't jump out at the screen to me. Like, I think Michael Parsons is going to be a great player. I think he's a great player already. But watching the game, it's like I didn't hear his name enough. You feel me? And these are games you need to have your name heard a lot. So, great game by both teams, though. I'm not mad at the Cowboys losing. They got to find a way to win those type of games because the Eagles was this was a game the Eagles, you know, could have lost. But the Cowboys didn't take it. They got to take it. You know, like a boxing match, like when you box two great boxers or something like that. Like, or one boxer that's proven and one boxer that's not. You got to knock that boxer out to win. Like, if it comes down to a split decision or something like that, the guy with the reputation, or if it's close, the guy that's, you know, they're going to give it to the guy that normally wins because you didn't knock him out. You have to knock, the Cowboys got to knock the Eagles out. And that's what I'm going to say from that game. So, it was a great game, man. I enjoyed watching it. It was a great game for the 4 o'clock window. And they play again in what, a few weeks. So we're gonna see how that turned out. All right, let's move on to the Chiefs and the Dolphins. They played in Germany. 9:30 in the morning. This was a great game. Shout out to the first off, I'm sure it was out there rocking in Germany. It looked like the atmosphere was live. Great quarterback play from we got Patrick Mahomes, you got Tua Tagovailoa, you got Tyreek Hill playing against his former team, some of his former teammates, definitely his former coaches and coaching staff. You got Patrick Mahomes going against one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now, and they're getting healthy. They have their top two corners back in Jalen Ramsey and Xavier Howard. Shout out to the guys. Javon Holland back there. They got Wilkins, Chubb, Phillips on defense. So they getting healthy as time goes on. And they're one of the hot teams in the NBA, in the NFL. It was a great game, though. But the Dolphins got off to a slow start. It was 21-0 quick. It was 21-0 at halftime. You're not going to win games like that. It was 7-0 in the first quarter. So the first quarter was kind of, you know, the Chiefs came out. They scored the first drive down the field. And then they stalled out a couple times. And then they scored 14 points in the second quarter. So it's 21-0 going into halftime. Tyreek Hill catches a bubble screen. McDuffie instantly attacks him, tackles him, strips the ball. He has the playmaking ability to not just tackle him and, you know, get a tackle for loss. He strips the ball from him. And then Mike Edwards picks it up and laterals it back to Cook. And Cook takes it damn near 60 yards down the sideline. And he was sliding. If you watch the Chiefs game and you watch that play, it's like backyard football. Pick the ball up, pick a fumble up, pass it back. They out there looking like the Ravens defense back in the day with Ed Reed and them. If you know about them defenses back in the day, when Ed Reed caught a pick or anybody on that Ravens defense caught a pick or a fumble, they were trying to get to the crib. They was pitching it back, all type of shit. That's what the Chiefs looked like yesterday, man. The Chiefs defense is locked in right now. Remember, they had a lot of rookie guys playing last year. They had like 6 or 7 guys on their defense that was rookies that was playing big minutes for that team. And you can tell them guys are really put in great position because of that. They are thriving because they was through in the fire last year and that they got that experience and they know how to play in these big games. And they won a Super Bowl. You feel me? Like, when you win a Super Bowl, bro, and you're a rookie and you're out there on the field, like, you already know, like, you're doing something right. So that's just going to add more confidence, give you more confidence. Not saying you didn't have it, but, bro, being a rookie and being out there on that field on defense and communicating on that big old stage, yeah, it's time to go. That's time to make plays. So the Dolphins just started off a little slow, man. Both quarterbacks threw under 200 yards. So this is one of those type of games. There were no really big ground-breaking plays made on either offenses. The Chiefs was able to hold Tariq Hill under 100 yards. I think this might be the first time all season that he was held under 100 yards. He had 8 catches for 62 yards. He had no real big plays. His longest catch was 19 yards. Big plays, a 10 to 15 yard run is considered a big play in a run. And a 20 yard pass is considered a big play. So they really had no big plays on offense besides Wilson catching a 31 yard, I would say a deep corner route that he threw. First off, great throw by Tua. Gave his wide receiver a shot. I think Wilson should play more. Cedric Wilson, I liked him. I liked him when he played for the Cowboys as well. The Cowboys should have never let him go because he was like a nice piece for the Cowboys, and he hasn't been playing as much with the Dolphins because of guys like Tariq Hill, Waddle, you feel me? Devontae Parker, when he was there, he hasn't gotten a lot of time, but I think he can play. So the Chiefs came out there with a plan, man. They came out there with a plan. They got some points. They scored a touchdown. Forced fumbles. I'm going to get back to that later on, but they played really well. This is a great game, man, but we see the better team won. I mean, fourth down, it was 4th and 10. It was 4th and 10. Miami was in the Chiefs' territory. It was the last play of the game, basically. I mean, not the last play of the game, but if they didn't get the first down, it was going to be the last play of the game, which it was. And Tua dropped the snap. It wasn't a bad snap. It wasn't all was away to the left or away to the right, or it was above his head, or it was down low where he had to take his eyes from downfield and had to locate the ball. It was a snap, and he dropped it, and that's how the game ended. You don't want to see that from your quarterback, especially in shotgun. I can see, like, under the center snaps be kind of messed up sometimes. But shotgun right back to you, yeah, it may have been a little to the right, but that don't mean shit. It's a snap. You take those snaps all day, every day. Every day in practice, before practice, after practice, you're taking snaps, I'm sure. I've watched NFL quarterbacks in practice do the same thing, so I know he's taking snaps. I know he didn't caught the ball left, right, up, down, in the rain, because he's in Florida. He's practicing in Miami. It rains, it stopped raining, it rains, it stopped raining every 15, 20 minutes. So those are the elements that he has to deal with. And those are some tough elements if you're playing quarterback and throwing the ball. So he has to make that catch, and he has to make that play. The Chiefs defense got after him, though. They blitzed him, came at him from all different type of ways, man. This is just a great game right here. So, shout out to Kansas City. They are now 7-2 going on a bye week. Like I said, coming out of the bye week, they're going to play the Eagles at home on Monday Night Football. So, that's going to be a live game. They're on a bye week as well. So, this is their bye week as well. And when they get out of bye week, they come back and they play the Raiders at home. So some of the best teams are going to be on the bye week this week. You got the Dolphins, you got Miami, you got the Eagles. You got some teams that's on bye weeks this upcoming week. That's some of the best teams in the NFL. So gonna miss them next Sunday. But moving on, man. Great win from the Chiefs. Moving on. Let's go to these Ravens and Seahawks, man. If you, like, every window of football on this past Sunday was great football. It goes from, I'm just highlighting a few games that I really want to talk about. But these are some of the games that have Chiefs, Dolphins. You woke up at 9:30 in the morning, they were playing. 1 o'clock, the Ravens and the Seahawks is playing. 4 o'clock, the Cowboys and the Eagles is playing. Then at the Sunday Night Football, you had the Bills and the Bengals. So it was some great football going on. But let's talk about these Ravens and Seahawks. Man, the Ravens whooped their ass. In the first quarter, it wasn't no points scored either. It was a fill-out quarter. It was a fill-out game. Both teams kind of came out. Offense is a little slow. Seahawks came out 3-and-out. That's what they had. First, came out 3-and-out. Then the Ravens came out, got a first down on the first play. Then they went 3-and-out. So they were just filling each other out for the first quarter a little bit. Second quarter, that's when it got cracking. Second quarter, Ravens scored 17 points, so it was 17-3. The score was 37-3. So it ain't too much to talk about with the Seahawks. The Seahawks, I know they've been traveling a lot this year, going all the way across town, all the way from Seattle, all the way to Baltimore. I said on the previous podcast that was going to be tough to win. I think I said it on the Off the Top show with my boy RJ. That was going to be tough to do, going all the way across town to play in Baltimore at 1 o'clock because it's really 10 o'clock. Your body on 10 o'clock time, you feel me, because it's different time zones. And the Ravens playing against the Ravens at 1 o'clock at the arena, man, it's I'm telling you, it get live. It get crazy in there at any time, really, 4 o'clock, 1 o'clock, or at a night game. But them 1 o'clock games, if you don't start fast versus the Ravens, it's gonna get ugly. But Lamar Jackson, man, let's talk. How much can we talk about him, man? He making things happen out there. Lamar Jackson is the MVP right now. Lamar Jackson is playing at an MVP level. No, he's not throwing for 300, 400 yards a game and rushing for 100 yards a game. But the way he's taking care of the ball, the way he's getting the way he's leading this team, the way he's stepping up against some great teams. Like, they just beat the damn Lions 38-6. The Lions is one of the best teams in the NFL. They beat the Titans 24-16. The Titans, not a bad team. Then they beat the Seahawks 37-3. Like, they beat the Browns 28-3. They beat the Bengals 27-24. Like, this is one of the best teams in the NFL. This is literally one of the best teams in the NFL. The defense, number one defense, top five in the defense red zone, top five offense, the number one rushing game in the league, or top five rushing game in the league, top five red zone offense, and some of their outside guys are starting to get it rolling now. Mark Andrews, 9 catches for 80 yards. OBJ, 7 targets, 5 receptions, 56 yards, and a touchdown. First time getting the end zone as a Raven on his birthday. And he looked fluid yesterday. He looked like OBJ. Like, he looked good. And if he continues to do that and continue to add that weapon, because he's not going to get double teamed. You feel me? They're gonna do a lot of single high because they got to try to stop the run game. So a lot of single high means a lot of single coverage. So you got guys like Flowers, Bateman, Duvernay, Andrews, and OBJ. So if them guys continue to get open and get their mojo and add to this offense to where you can catch a slant and go for 30 yards, or you can catch an out route and turn it up, or you can catch a dig route and get 40 yards from it, get yak yardage, that's just going to add a whole nother component to this offense. A whole nother component to this offense. Is a running back yesterday. Mitchell, number 34. They said he ran a 4.3 he's an undrafted free agent. He ran a 4.3 at the coming out. He had 9 carries for 138 yards and a touchdown and a 60-yard run. He was running the ball. Lamar on the ground yesterday, 10 carries for 60 yards, and he protected himself. That's the thing I'm happy about. He protected himself. He got down. He's not taking these sideline tackles. He's not taking all of these hits for no reason. And I can honestly say he hasn't taken a lot of hits this year because he hasn't ran the ball a lot. But I know, like, going on to the end of this season, he's going to start running the ball more because that's a component of his. But at least he's saved his legs for, like, 8 to 9 weeks. So now, if he got to go 5 games where he's Lamaring out there, I like that little saying, when Lamar get the Lamaring, it get crazy out there. So when he has them, you know, the final 3 games of the season, then he go into the playoffs where he's Lamaring, this offense can be unstoppable. They ran for, they had 298 yards rushing. 298 yards rushing versus a very good team. The Seahawks are a good team. The Seahawks are a good team. Now, they got their ass whooped, but I think they're going to bounce back from that. But they are a good team. But giving up 298 yards and then only being able to run the ball first off, oh, my God. Let me just read you this. The Baltimore Ravens had the ball for 40 minutes. It's only a 60-minute game. The Baltimore Ravens had the ball for 40 minutes. And if you know Mav, you know how many minutes the Seahawks had the ball. 20. The Ravens had a total amount of yards of 515 yards. The Seahawks had a whopping 151 yards. Seahawks had 123 passing yards and 28 rushing yards. They only had 6 first downs. They had 5 penalties, 2 turnovers. They got sacked 4 times. Man, they only had 47 total plays. That's total domination right there. That's domination. That's domination. Defense and offensively. Bro, their offense only gave up 151 yards in an NFL game versus a very good offense. Geno Smith and one of those plays, they should have probably only had 100 yards. They should have had under 100 yards passing. They hit Metcalf on a dig route where he caught it and had, I think it was like a 49-yard. He had caught a dig route and ran it up the sideline right before halftime on some 2-minute type shit. So you take that play away, they only had 70 passing yards. Hey, this Ravens defense is serious. This Ravens team is serious. They serious. I'm telling y'all. And it's going to be they like, it ain't a lock that the Chiefs are going to be that one seed. It ain't a lock that the Chiefs are going to be a one seed. So if the Ravens can get that one seed and they can get that bye week, and then you got to come up and they feel and play. You got to come win one in Baltimore in the playoffs. You got to win it through Baltimore. Man, that's a tough-ass stadium to play at, man. Special teams playing well. Defense is number one defense in the league. Offense is the top five team in the league. Man, good luck going over there and playing against Lamar and them Ravens. Because them boys, they look like they starting to click in jail at the right time. And I don't even think they fully taking off. You feel me? Like they the plane that's on the tart, that's in full stride, but they ain't lift off yet. You feel me? I don't even think they lifted off yet. Give it about a few weeks. They next few games, they play the Browns next Sunday at home. Then they play the Bengals on Thursday Night Football at home. And then they play the Chargers away in LA. If they go if they win all three of those games, man, oh man, because they got a bye week the week after that. If they win two of those games, if they go 2-1, because it's going to be tough beating the Bengals, but they play the Bengals at home on Thursday Night Football, I think that's going to be a good game. I think that's going to be a great game, honestly. So if they're able to beat the Browns, then beat the Bengals, then beat the Chargers, and then go into the bye week 3-0, well, 7-0, because they're on a 4-game winning streak right now. So if they're able to go into the bye week on a 7-game winning streak, ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. That's all I'm going to say. Ooh-wee. So the Ravens put on a performance, a very dominant performance. They did their thing, man. Shout out to them. Seahawks, scrap the film, correct what you need to correct, and get ready for next week. I still think the Seahawks are a good team, definitely. They just have to, you know, step up and make these plays. Like I said, it's hard. It's tough to play against the Ravens at 1 o'clock at their stadium. It's tough, but they on the schedule, so y'all had to do what y'all had to do. But moving on from that, man, let's go to the last game that I really want to, you know, dive deep into. Sunday Night Football, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs, Lou Anarumo, my guy, Sean McDermott, Zach Taylor, Ken Dorsey. Obviously, we see what we know what happened last year. These guys played. DeMar Hamlin had passed out on the field and had to be taken to the ambulance, taken to the hospital. They didn't know if he was going to make it, but a year later, he's here. So congrats on that, man. Love you. Wishing the best for you and your family, man, and your journey. You feel me? Your life, for real. So we already know the emotions behind this game. Like I said, they didn't finish this game last year. The game was, I think it was a Monday. It was a Monday night game, one of them. And they didn't finish the game. So now we roll back this year on a Sunday night in Cincinnati. And it was a show. It was a show. It was a great game. Joe Burrow balled out. Joe Blow balled out. 31 for 44, 348 yards and 2 touchdowns. Only got sacked 1 time. And another thing, he was scrambling a little bit, man. He healthy now. I'm going to tell y'all that. He's healthy. You can tell that calf has gotten stronger. You can tell that his confidence in his lower body is at a great level right now. He's getting hot at the right time. Like, while we playing, like, Joe Burrow is, like I said last week, Joe Burrow is sneaking into that MVP talk. He's sneaking into that MVP race. Don't get it twisted. In 2 weeks, Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow going to be on the same field. And depending on how that turned out, one of the quarterbacks from that game are going to walk away as the MVP favorite. They're going to walk away from that game as the MVP favorite, for sure. Both of them still going to be in the races. I think both of them are going to perform at a high level. But they're going to walk away from that from that game, we're going to walk away from that Thursday night game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals and be like, whoever won that game at the quarterback spot, that person is the MVP as of right now, because that's the type of performance they're going to play. But let's get back to this business Bengals game. Joe Burrow just dominated the game, man, from start to finish. He did his thing. Start to finish. He came out 14 points in the first quarter, and he showed you what he was on for the whole night. T. Higgins balled out, eight catches, 110 yards. That's dope. Boyd, 3 catches, 56 yards. Hudson, he got the ball to the tight ends. Multiple, like 3 tight ends had 3 catches. I heard a stat. They said the tight ends coming into this game only had 20 catches on the season. They had, what is this? They had 10 catches all together last night. So they had half the amount yesterday than they had in the whole season. Drew Sample, 3 for 30. Smith, 3 for 26. They both had touchdowns. And Hudson, 4 for 45. So, and then Jamar Chase had 4 catches, 41 yards. They were kind of, you know, obviously you got to know where he's at on the field. So they was tuned in to him. So a lot of other guys had, you know, one-on-one coverage and was able to execute. But, man, Joe Burrow is the new, I would say the new and improved Tom Brady. Like, he's kind of starting off how Tom Brady was in the middle of his career. Because he is the offense. He is, you know, he's not, you know, coddled by a defense that has 10 damn near Hall of Famers in defense. And Ty Law, Brewski, Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork, Rodney Harrison, Mark Vrabel, Willis McGinnis. Like, it's so many guys I can – Asante Samuel. It's so many guys I can name on that defense that the Patriots had early in Tom Brady's career. It's not the same for the Bengals. The Bengals whole team revolves around Joe Burrow, especially their offense. They perform pretty well, man. Nothing against the Bengals defense, though, because the Bengals defense is pretty good. Obviously, they held them to 18 points. They were able to turn the ball over. They did their thing. Joey B had the ball for 36 minutes. So, obviously, Josh Allen is not able to stay on the field long enough because they don't have a running game. They need a running back. They should have tried to trade for some of these running backs that's not happy with their team. They should have tried to trade for a Derrick Henry, for a Saquon Barkley. They should have tried to trade for some of those guys because they need a running game, bro. You need to be able to know, like, I hand this ball off and we can get some yards. Yeah, we're going to throw the ball two downs out of three, but they need to be able to hand the ball off, because some of these great quarterbacks, the Josh Allen, the Joe Burrow, the Jalen Hurts, the Patrick Mahomes, these guys are not getting single high like that. These guys are shell coverage, 2 safeties. So the boxes are pretty empty. There's 5-man boxes. Sometimes, you know, 6-man boxes. But there's not a lot of 7, 8, 9-man boxes versus some of these great quarterbacks. So you have to have a running back that you trust that can make plays that you can hand the ball off to. You have to. Like, to only have the ball 23 minutes and you one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, that's not enough. It need to be balanced. You need to be able to hand the ball off. You need to be able to keep the clock running, pound the defense from the inside. That shit sound crazy, but but you have to, though. You have to be able to break the defense down from the inside, and you do that by running the ball with your running back, having somebody that can give you 5 yards a carry, you feel me? That could potentially run the ball on 3rd and 3, where you ain't got to just drop back and pass that motherfucker all the time. You can shock him and hand the ball off, and he, you know, move the chains with his legs. So the Bills have to give Josh Allen more. I know they got a lot of injuries on their defense, and oh my God, they do have a lot of injuries on their defense, but they're still going to be in it. They got a tough schedule coming to finish this season. They got a tough schedule. They got about 4 losses on their schedule toward the end of the season. So that what that's 9-8. Potential 8-9. Like, who knows, man? They got a tough schedule for these last eight games. So the Bills need to win when they supposed to win. They need to steal some of these wins because it's gonna be tough. It ain't gonna be easy. The intensity of this game was great though, but man, but Joe Burrow, he showed you why he's the better quarterback. He showed y'all why he easily the number two quarterback in the NFL. He ain't up there. I don't think he's up there with Patrick Mahomes. I think it goes Patrick Mahomes, then it go like three or four slots down, then Joe Burrow come, and then now we can talk about the rest of the quarterbacks. But Patrick Mahomes is in a league of his own. He's in a league of his own. And then it goes the next guys. But Joe Burrow, cold. He's one of those guys. Like, you can tell, but look in his eye, his confidence, he peaking at the right time. Joey B, the Bengals got them one. They got them one for sure. So they continue to build around him. They're going to have to make a decision between who they're going to pay, T. Higgins or Jamar Chase. Are they going to bring back Mixon? We're going to see. You better not let Jamar Chase go nowhere. I'll tell you that. You better not, because he ain't taking no pay cut. And if I was him, I wouldn't either, because he is a very, very, very rare and special talent. So we going to see. But great game, though, man. The Bengals won 24-18. The Bengals just kind of got the Bills number right now, man. The Bills got to – they got to step it up, man. They got to step it up. But we going to go into the final fast break. Final fast break period where I talk about for like 4 or 5 minutes and I just highlight some of these other games that happened and talk about the scores and talk about what happened. So let's just go into that real quick. We're going to start it. Dun, 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 dun. Here we go. Raiders beat the Giants. Raiders have just fired their coach. And I think their GM, one of the guys in the front office, Antonio Pierce, got his first win versus his former team that he won a Super Bowl with. Great win for the Raiders, man. It's always, after you fire a coach, it can either go two ways. You can either look great that next week coming out, or you can look terrible that next week coming out. They look great. They won. Daniel Jones had, I think they talking about he tore his ACL. Praying for him, praying for, his health. The Giants are going through a lot right now. They're just not a good team. But the good win for the Raiders, man. Good win for the Raiders. Great win for great first win for Antonio Pierce. There we go. Colts, Panthers. Colts won 27-13. Bryce Young is not looking special. He's not looking magical like they were saying in the draft process. I don't see it. He threw two pick sixes to Kenny Moore, and one of the pick sixes he threw, as soon as he threw it, he knew he was already in sprint to go back because he knew he just threw a pick and it wasn't a good throw. They need to tighten up for real. The Panthers, I don't see them really getting better even next year. I don't know. But good win for the Colts to go into the Panthers and take the win. I know Kenny Moore is feeling really, really good right now. Two INTs to the crib in one game. That's crazy. Good job. Buccaneers, Texans. Texans win 39-37. Great game by the great quarterback play in this game. Surprisingly, I'm not going to say surprisingly, but this was a great quarterbacking game. Baker Mayfield has been looking good. They're on a four-game losing streak after the bye week, so that's tough. But they've been looking good, though, man. Baker Mayfield been looking good, I can tell you that. C.J. Stroud looking like a top 10 quarterback in the league already, balling out. I'll give y'all more of his numbers later on. Texans look good, man. The Texans are 4-4, and the Texans might be able to creep into the playoff picture at the end. Who knows? They might be able to get that 7th seed, depending on how they finish the season. Who knows, man? We're going to see. Let's move on from that. Vikings and the Falcons. The Vikings walked into the Falcons arena and took the W with a quarterback they just got on Tuesday, Joshua Dobbs. Respect to that warrior right there, man. Going from team to team to team, just starting and playing and just playing football and throwing game-winning touchdowns. Joshua Dobbs, man, great performance, bro. great football player, great professional, and a great win for your team on Sunday. Falcons need to tighten up. Let's move on. Packers-Rams. Packers won 20-3. Rams didn't have Matthew Stafford, so that's a big shot to their offense. There's a big shot to their offense. Jordan Love looked better. 20 for 26, 228 yards, one touchdown. They was able to get the running game going, though. They end up having 184 rushing yards at the Packers, and that's what they need to be at. They need to be running the ball, and that's what they need to focus on. So, great win for them. Commanders beat the Patriots 20-17. Great game for Sam Howell. I think the Commanders have found their franchise quarterback, at least for the next couple years. He looks good. He can make the throws. He commands the offense, and he has confidence, and he spread the ball. Patriots are in trouble. Saints versus the Bears. Saints won 24-17. Probably Justin Fields comes back this week. Saints got a win at home. Took care of business. Great game for them. Browns beat the Cardinals 27-0. Spanked them. Deshaun Watson was back. Amari Cooper still cooping. Still going crazy. Still doing his thing. And they beat them. And obviously, the Steelers beat the Titans on Thursday Night Football. But that'll do it for the fast break. That'll do it for the final fast break, man. I like that segment right there. We kind of just speed through the games, talk about these teams. I don't just want to overlook teams on here and not talk about certain teams. I want to give teams, you know, their respect, man. They're in the NFL, man, and it's tough to get there. Let's talk about the Rookie of the Week. I'm always going to highlight a Rookie of the Week every week. That balled out, that stepped up to the plate. And for this week, I'm going to go with Tank Dell. Tank Dell, rookie receiver from Houston. Literally went to Houston College, and I thought he was nice in Houston at the college. I thought he was pretty nice. I thought he could run routes. He had speed, had acceleration. And I thought he was going to be good in the league. But he said, I'm going to be great. So I said, okay, cool. Let's see it. Six catches for 114 yards, two touchdowns, and a game-winning touchdown. Great from him. Great explosion. He can play. He's one of those smaller guys, too. But he has heart. Obviously, you can see. Obviously, he's not an easy cover. He can really play football out there. So, shout out to Tank Dell, man. Keep balling. Now, let me see which one I want to do first. Let's do Tony's top five teams. We're going into week 10. Yeah, we're going into week 10. Let me do my Tony's top five teams going into week 10. At number five, I'm going to go Detroit Lions, man. We just had a bye week, but before the bye week, they balled out. Detroit Lions are playing really well right now. They're playing competitive. I think they're locked to win their division. I think they're locked to probably potentially be the third seed in the second or the third seed, depending on how it turns out. They can be the third seed at the least in the NFC, making the playoffs. They're going to play a home game in the playoffs, so that'll be great. Lions are looking good, man, looking like a complete team. Then I'm going to go with the Jaguars at four. Trevor Lawrence looked good. ETN is the X factor to that team. They got weapons on the outside, a nice tight end, and their defense is coming along as well. They drafted a lot of first number one overall picks on their damn D line, so they should be balling out by now. Their defense is gelling. Trevor Lawrence got them playing competitive ball because they know they got a shot with him every time he goes out there on the field. So the Jags are trending up. At number three, this is where it got kind of tricky at, man. But I considered 2 weeks from now when I made this decision. I put the Eagles at number three. They're a great team, but there are some holes in that team. There's holes in a lot of teams, but there's some holes in this Eagle team. But they are playing really well right now. They're an 8-1 team. They're always finding ways to win. Jalen Hurts is playing at the MVP level. He's doing his thing. A.J. Brown still balling. Defense doing well. Moving on, I put the Chiefs at number two because I feel that coming off both of the bye weeks, they play on Monday night. I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Eagles on Monday night. So if the Chiefs beat the Eagles on Monday night, they're going to be at the two spot anyway. I think the Chiefs win that game. The Chiefs are the Chiefs, man. They're Super Bowl champs. You got to beat them You feel me? And then we have at the one spot, the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens are playing some dominant football right now. And this is the brand of football that you can win with. Running the ball, playing great defense, making plays on third down, protecting the ball, and having the ball for 40 minutes a game. Controlling the ball for 40 minutes a game. You can't lose with that. So those are my top five right there. Ravens at the one, Chiefs at the two, Eagles at the three spot, Jaguars at the four spot, and the Lions at the five spot. Those are my top five teams going into week 10. I'm going to do that every week, though. Last segment of the show. I love that y'all continue to tune into the Speak on the Podcast, because I be thinking I be knowing a little something, man. I might not, but I might do. Who knows? Primetime performers, Showtime, Sunday show outs. First off, you got to get respect. I'm going to do three of them. You got to get respect to CJ Stroud. He's showing that he's potentially the top 10 quarterback in the NFL right now. Houston picked right with their quarterback. He threw 30 for 42, 470 yards and 5 touchdowns, a game-winning touchdown. He had a game-winning drive under 49 seconds. He had to score a touchdown. It was 30. Yeah, he had to score a touchdown. He had to score a touchdown in 49 seconds to win the game. He drove the ball easily and threw the touchdown, game-winning touchdown to Tank Dell. Houston, y'all have found y'all quarterback. Offseason, y'all need to continue to build on that defense, give D'Amico Ryans the guys that he need, and go and get a superstar wide receiver. There's going to be some out. You might can trade for some. Go and get them and go and pay them. Continue to build around CJ Stroud, because y'all might have found y'all one. I'm going to tell you that. So shout out to CJ Stroud. Let's move on to the Chiefs defense, man. That's my number two for Sunday show out. Chiefs defense, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 touchdown. They balled out. They was flying all over the field. Literally been a top 5 defense all year. They limited Tyreek Hill to under 100 yards. There's games where Tyreek Hill have fucking 180, 220 yards. So they locked him down. I ain't going to say they locked him down. They cradled him. You feel me? They was able to shield him from making the big plays and the big splash plays. They did their thing. They tackled well. They had a plan and they stuck to it. Shout out to Steve Spagnuolo. Shout out to the whole defense. They balled out. And last but not least, we're going to go Kenny Moore. He had 5 tackles from the Colts. Kenny Moore the second. 5 tackles, 2 PBUs, and 2 interceptions to the crib. 2 interceptions to the crib in 1 game. That's unheard of, man. It just made me think about it. I remember Durrell Smith in the Super Bowl, Buccaneers versus the Raiders. He had 2 pick sixes to the crib in the Super Bowl. I think they had like damn near 3 or 4 defensive touchdowns in that Super Bowl. Derrick Brooks had an INT to the crib. I think it was Dwight Smith. It was either Dwight Smith or Durrell Smith. I messed it up. He wore number 26. If I messed up your name, bro, my bad. But I remember you making them plays out there. 2 pick sixes to the crib. That's unheard of. So obviously he was in the right place at the right time. He was living right. You know, he was blessing the people around him. And blessings came back on Sunday. So, shout out to him, man. Shout out to Kenny Moore II. Hey, man. We here, man. If y'all tune in, y'all stay tuned into the Speak on the Podcast, man. I appreciate y'all. Keep tuning in, man. Share the page. Follow me on Twitter. Speak on it podcast. Speak on it TML. @ Speak on it TML. On IG, Speak on it Podcast. Tune in, man. We going up every week, like I said. Hey, we here, baby. Love y'all, man. Enjoy y'all day, man. Speak on the Podcast. Lip out.